WRAL News on Fox 50. Coverage you can count on.
Today, we are able to breathe again.
Now on Fox 50 at 8, a breakthrough guilty verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, the next steps in the fight toward justice, and the memorial that could be built here in North Carolina. We're also following breaking news, a shooting here in Wake County. This is a live look at the scene in Apex. WRAL's Brett Neese is in the breaking news tracker. He'll join us for a live report in just a few moments. A lot to tell you about. Thanks for joining us at 8 o'clock. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan, and we are also tracking the latest developments with the forecast. A lot has changed this week. We'll give you a live look at Clayton right now. There's a fire danger growing, and it is a concern throughout our day. We're also expecting a temperature drop in the coming hours. Let's get right to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner right now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the timeline for all this.
That's right. It looks nice out there right now. Gorgeous view from Fayetteville with hardly a cloud in the sky. Our temperatures are starting off mild as well. A lot of folks will probably be tempted to get out in places like Southern Pines. Matter of fact, it looks like they're getting things all ready to get a little maintenance there at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. Take a look. Even though we have a cold front coming through, we're really not going to see much rain with it. At lunchtime, we begin to see the clouds thickening up, and it may be gray for a little bit around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But the best chance of rain will actually be east of our viewing area. We do have a slight chance up near the Virginia line that we could see an isolated thunderstorm. We have a level 1 risk for just Northampton County later today. But we could see windy conditions anywhere this afternoon. Our winds will shift to northwesterly and turn chilly, 15 to 20, steady out of the northwest behind the front with some gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Because of that, we have a red flag warning from the Triangle area westward with the low humidity and gusty winds. Burning is not recommended because any fires could spread pretty quickly. We're in the mid-50s this morning. We're going to warm on up this afternoon into the low 70s. But behind the front, temperatures will start to drop rather quickly, and some places will drop down to freezing overnight tonight. We're going to go through it town by town to show you who has the best chance of seeing the coldest temperatures tomorrow morning. Brian?
Tracking a crash right now on the north side of Raleigh. This is on Falls of Neuse Road around Baybush Drive. Here's 540. This is Falls, and that crash is reported right there at the intersection. At this point, I'm not seeing any big delays showing up on the sensors in that area, but we'll watch it and let you know if that changes. Looks like a pretty smooth ride right now as you come out of Wake Forest through 540 on Falls of Neuse Road. Taking a look around the rest of Raleigh right now, we're picking up delays on 40 westbound around the Gorman Street interchange. Also still seeing some slowdowns on 440 westbound from New Bern Avenue out toward the Wake Forest Road interchange, including the Capitol Boulevard interchange. That's pretty typical for this time of day, just congestion out there. Seeing some slow traffic showing up on the sensors there on 540 westbound between Lewisburg Road and Capitol Boulevard. Taking a look at Durham and Chapel Hill right now, we're looking fine on 15501 between the two. I-40 also a smooth ride as you head out of Hillsborough through Chapel Hill on into South Durham and RTP. Back to you.
Now to our coverage of the Derek Chauvin verdict. Demonstrations are planned tonight in Hillsborough as many feel the fight for justice is far from over. Here's what you need to know. The former Minneapolis officer is being held at a maximum security prison about 25 miles outside of Minneapolis. He will stay there for another 8 weeks until sentencing. And if he gets the maximum sentence, he could face decades in prison. Three more officers are awaiting trial for their role in George Floyd's death. They are charged with aiding and abetting murder and manslaughter. Their trial is set to begin in August.
Floyd was born in Fayetteville. Some of his family still lives there, and they're considering building a memorial center in his honor there or in Raleigh. WRAL's Casey Cunningham is in downtown Raleigh with a message from Floyd's family following this verdict. It's an interview you will only see on WRAL.
Talking with George Floyd's family, their focus now is making sure that his memory is used for positive change. And part of that is building this George Floyd Memorial Center. So they're talking about different locations of where that could be. One of the ideas in downtown Raleigh, right near Shaw University. When we talk with his cousin, he says, you know, the capital city could draw a lot of people in. Another idea is Fayetteville, where George Floyd was born. Family members say the settlement from the city of Minneapolis could be used to fund the center. We spoke with Floyd's cousin right after the verdict. He tells us this verdict is a turning point for Americans.
When it says justice for all in the end of the pledge, that's what it means, justice for all, regardless of who you are, color, sexual orientation, religious beliefs. We believe that this is the catalyst for change for all people.
And in order to do that, the family has also created a George Floyd Memorial website. So on that website is where you're going to find some information about the purpose and the mission behind the center, also continuing programs that George Floyd himself was a part of. So we have some more information and a link to that over on WREL.com. Casey Cunningham, WREL News in downtown Raleigh.
Just minutes before the verdict came down in Chauvin's trial, another deadly encounter with police sparked anger nationwide. This is new video of protesters in the streets of Columbus, Ohio, overnight, where a 16-year-old girl was shot and killed. We want to warn you, the body camera video we're about to show you is disturbing. The video shows the moments before an officer shot Micaiah Bryant. Officers say she was about to stab another girl with a knife. Bryant's family says she was the one who called police to report the fight outside her house.
She deserved to die like a dog on the street.
That was Bryant's aunt. The officer who shot Bryant is on leave. The mayor of Columbus says an investigation is underway.
Now to breaking news out of Apex, where officers are responding to a reported shooting. WRL's Brett Neese has been on the scene for nearly 4 hours now, joining us live from the WRL Breaking News Tracker. Brett.
And Jeff, this is the scene here behind me. There's only a couple of deputies here on Smith Road right now. I'm going to actually step behind the camera and show you a little bit closer here in the daylight of this scene. It's off of 1010 Road. You see there's the one squad car there. We're going to zoom in down the road. There's a couple of detectives' cars there. But look at all that crime scene tape. It spans all the way across the road, across Smith Road, and into this front yard where there's all these cars. I'm told that there were several shots that rang out overnight by neighbors who heard them. I'm working to find out whether or not anybody was hit by any of those bullets. As soon as I have that information, I'll report back. I'm live in Wake County, Brittany, WRL News.
Today, we expect an update from state leaders about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Governor Cooper and the state coronavirus task force will hold a briefing at 2 p.m. You can watch it live on WRL and the WRL News app. WRL data trackers have been keeping an eye on the coronavirus metrics here in North Carolina. And in the past day, the state reported 1,200 new cases. It is the lowest number reported in the last 2 weeks. 19 more deaths were reported, and we're seeing an uptick in the number of hospitalizations. Right now, 1,170 people are being treated at hospitals, the highest number we've seen since March 5th. Let's take a look at how these numbers are impacting the curve in our state as well. Right now, the average number of daily cases is reported at 2,000. This is sixth straight day. The average has been above 2,000. Like the total number of hospitalizations we just told you about, that has not happened since March 5th.
Parents in Wake County have less than 2 weeks to decide whether to enroll their child in the virtual academy in the fall. The registration window opens tomorrow and it closes May 2nd. The virtual academy will serve grades K through 12 with a separate virtual learning option for pre-K students. Leaders in Knightdale want your thoughts about the development of 200 new homes. Town Council is weighing plans for the townhomes near Old Knight Road and Forestville Road. That's not far from Forestville Elementary and Knightdale High School. Some have accused the council of not taking the proper steps to let people speak about the project. A public hearing starts this afternoon at 4. You can submit your comments on the town's website. We reached out to experts about the long-term impact of the Chauvin verdict. A local professor will join us live after the break to explain how this verdict could influence upcoming trials.
And it's a method of transport not being used anywhere else in the country. Coming up in our next half hour of news, how people along the coast may get a tour of its most famous monument without a driver behind the wheel.
And it's a pretty morning right now, but we have some big changes coming. A cold front moves through this afternoon with windy conditions. And then for the next two nights, our temperatures will be close to freezing in some spots. I'll show you which towns will have the best chance of seeing frost coming up. After that, it looks like a washout for Saturday, but we'll go through it hour by hour. And I'll show you how to plan around your weekend.
Eight 12, the time on your Wednesday morning. Good morning, Clayton. Hope things are well there. Sunshine looks great. We can spin you just about anywhere around the triangle and beyond with our WRL Live Cam Network. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Live Center or Weather Center right now with a live look behind you.
Yes, it looks beautiful out there right now. Sandra looking gorgeous, and this is the view all across the viewing area. But by lunchtime, we're going to begin to see the clouds thickening up, and we'll have some wind that picks up as well. It's been very interesting to watch this front march across the country. Trailing behind it has been a big band of snow, and that continues. As a matter of fact, as this moves into the mountains of North Carolina, we're going to see that rain changing over to a wintry mix, and the winds are going to pick up. It's going to feel a whole lot like winter. It's going to feel like winter here for tomorrow morning and Friday morning, but without the precipitation. It's just going to be chilly. As a matter of fact, when this front crosses the mountains, it's going to lose a lot of its moisture. There's some moisture down to the south. What we're looking at here is the available moisture, and it's down to the south, and it doesn't really move into our part of North Carolina. The green shaded area is where it's more moist, and of course the brown shaded area is where the air is very dry. So watch the front come through, and we see the moisture sitting offshore, but it's not over our area. So we have very little chance for rain in our viewing area, but we do have some dry conditions moving in behind the front, and that means we have high fire danger for later on today. We've been talking about that more all morning. Let's take a look at future cast. It's going to be pretty this morning. We'll start to see the cloud cover increasing around lunchtime, and then right around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we begin to see a couple of isolated showers from, say, Rocky Mount and Wilson on up to the northeast, and then a quick band of showers develops in the counties east of our viewing area, and that is it. After that, the drier, cooler air comes filtering in. We do have a level one risk for severe storms for Northampton County. You're going to want to be careful potentially up around Roanoke Rapids, but really most of us aren't going to see rain out of this at all. We'll be watching that area very closely, as we'll have about a 20% chance of rain in some of our north and eastern counties. It's going to be nice and dry for us tomorrow, but very chilly, and then dry on Friday. But Saturday, we're looking at what could be an all-day rain. This is 9 o'clock. Watch that rain start to move in, and it's with us just all day long. There's 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., you can see those darker colors, the yellows and the oranges, so the rain may be a little bit heavier during the evening, and there could be an isolated thunderstorm at that point, but mostly what we're going to see out of this is going to be rain. We clear out on Sunday, so if you have outdoor plans you really need to get in, I would pick Sunday over Saturday, because not only will it be wet, it's going to be chilly too. But it's been dry lately, and we could use some rain. So far for the month of April, we've seen a little over half an inch of rain at RDU, and we are behind by a little over an inch and a quarter. So we could see over an inch on Saturday. So that should help us to catch up a little bit. We're looking at the cold temperatures. We're going to go through our town by town and show you who has the best chance of frost for tomorrow morning and Friday morning coming up. 60 on Thursday. It's going to be chilly. But I tell you what, with that rain on Saturday, it's not going to feel too pleasant either, with temperatures in the low to mid 60s. We do have some pretty weather in the forecast, though, for next week. Brian?
Elizabeth, it is 8:15. We're going to take a look at conditions in Garner right now with that camera out at 70 at Van Dora Springs Road. Westbound traffic coming in from Clayton, moving along pretty well out toward Hammond Road, about a 15-minute ride overall from Clayton toward Raleigh and Garner. As we take a look around the rest of the triangle, some good news coming in from Johnston County into Garner. Those earlier delays on 40 westbound around the Clayton bypass all cleared now. It's a smooth trip all the way up toward 440 and beyond. On the north side of Raleigh, a crash getting cleared up right now from Falls of Deuce Road at Baybush Drive, which is not too far from the Strickland Road intersection. Still looking pretty good out there and not picking up any big delays. Looks like it's a pretty minor crash. There's a crash over in Morrisville on the southbound side of 540, right around the Highway 54 interchange. Not seeing any delays with that. Just look out for some police activity, perhaps on the right shoulder. Some slowdowns on 440 westbound, starting to ease up a little bit around Capitol Boulevard. Overall, not a bad trip around Raleigh on the Beltline on 440 westbound, or eastbound for that matter. And in Durham right now, we're looking fine on I-85, both directions clear through the north side of town. Back to you.
Now to our Derek Chauvin coverage. The former officer could spend decades behind bars after being convicted on all three counts of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. We are joined now by Emmanuel Orishe Jafor to discuss the impact of the verdict. He's a political science professor at North Carolina Central University. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have you on not just for your professional expertise, but also your personal perspective. I want to start with your thoughts when the verdict for Chauvin was read.
Well, it's quite unprecedented in the annals of our legal history, basically to see a police officer being convicted openly for such egregious crime that was done openly in the eyes of millions and millions of people, both in the United States and globally. It was a relief for those of us who are minorities, who have young people out there every day, when we have that talk with them and to actually see the actualization of that talk that we have with our kids take place openly in Minneapolis, I was absolutely ecstatic. I felt some partial justice has ensued, but I think more needs to be done in the context of that. While jubilation might be appropriate for someone else, but for me, I saw it as the right step in the right direction, because there's so much to be done in terms of the police and the community relationship as it relates to Black, brown, and yellow-skinned kids. We're all human, and we have to show some humanness in everything we do. So this is quite important as we move forward in trying to deal with the United States as a mosaic of a different culture. Thank you.
Professor O, you mentioned that more work needs to be done. What are some of the reforms that you see as top priority when it comes to police interacting with people of color?
I think what is very, very critical is a community relationship needs to be built between the law enforcement officers. And of course, that is so critical. In other countries, such as in Europe and other countries, we can look at best practices whereby the police and the community work together in consonant in addressing community challenges. There needs to be a major reform, basically, that will address issues of ethnicity, race, and nationalities. The recruitment process into the police academy needs to be revamped. We need to ensure that the characters of those who are coming into those entities are basically assessed. And there needs to be a real good sit down. Let's talk about what our community needs. Our communities are sometimes quite challenged. And at the same time, the police are challenged in trying to enforce laws in those communities. But we got to have real talk. We have to engage. So there's got to be a level of engagement that is not about...
This is a long journey ahead, certainly.
Yes.
So
we have to go through a synthetization.
That takes a lot of commitment from so many parties. Professor
Absolutely.
Emmanuel Orisha Jafor, we're running out of time, but we thank you so much. We appreciate
Absolutely.
Your insight.
Thank you, Renee. Take care. All right, bye-bye.
The city of Raleigh is hosting a discussion on inclusion after recent violence against Asian Americans. The two-part panel starts today. It'll focus on the Asian American experience in our community. You can register on the county's website for that. And today, we could learn more about any missteps in the response to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The Inspector General of Capitol Police will testify in a virtual hearing with lawmakers. In previous testimony, the Inspector General noted lack of preparedness and training that could carry over to any future attacks at the Capitol.
Happening now in the WRA Live Center, we want to give you new video. Intra News Zoom out of India this morning. That country's railway network transferring liquid medical oxygen tankers all across India because of the serious surge in COVID-19 numbers. Now, many states across India are facing a shortage of oxygen for medical purposes. India is in the middle of a second wave of COVID-19 cases.
NASA's next crew of astronauts are getting ready to head to the International Space Station. They will leave tomorrow. Four crew members, including one Japanese astronaut and one astronaut from France, will be aboard the SpaceX Dragon capsule. The fourth crew member is one of the benefits of the partnership between SpaceX and NASA.
With the fourth crew member, we're allowed to increase the amount of utilization and research we do on board, the amount of technology development we do for the Artemis program, as well as the low Earth orbit commercialization efforts we do.
The crew has already practiced everything in a dress rehearsal to ensure that everything runs smoothly on the day of launch. It will happen shortly after 6 a.m. on Thursday.
One Granville County teacher can thank her own child for her career. WRL's Brian Schrader introduces us to our Teacher of the Week and explains why she's so eager to have children back in the classroom.
Astir Abdelmaseya was a stay-at-home mom. When her older child started having trouble with math in the second grade, she did something that eventually would change her life.
So I kind of started tutoring him and helping him, and that year he got the highest in the state exam.
Her son's principal suggested that Abdul Masayeb consider becoming a teacher. And she did. She's now teaching science at Butner STEM Middle School in Granville County. The students call her Ms. A, and she says bringing patience and understanding to the classroom is the key to success.
Sometimes, A, they're frustrated, or they may not understand a concept. Sometimes there's more that's going on.
And with the pandemic, students' lives may be more complicated than ever. Ms. A says that's one reason she's so eager to see them back in the classroom.
They need to socialize, have lunch with their friends, tell them all that stuff that's going on.
Astir Abdul Masaya is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
You can see all of our honored teachers and nominate one of them for us to recognize by going to WRAL.com. Enter Teacher of the Week in the search box. If you miss attending large events in the Triangle, you're certainly not alone. Still ahead, how one organization is working to put events back on the calendar safely.
Plus, Derek Chauvin was found guilty. What comes next? Coming up, what we know about a proposal to memorialize George Floyd right here in North Carolina.
Triangle's number one source for news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:26 on a bright Wednesday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan with a look at the top local stories we're following for you. A windy one out there. Elizabeth Gardner, WRAL Severe Weather Center.
That's right. Take a look at South Hill, looking beautiful this morning. But, of course, you can see the flag in front of the Colonial Theater blowing in the breeze. The wind will pick up considerably later on this afternoon, gusting up to 30, 35 miles per hour. And we do have high fire danger across most of the area today. Temperatures are warming up nicely with that sunshine, though. 59 Fayetteville, 56 Rowan, Oak Rapids, 58 degrees in Rocky Mount. If you're looking to get out, it's pretty nice out there right now, and lunchtime temperatures will be close to 70. But this evening, it'll be breezy and turning chilly fairly quickly. We don't see much rain with this front, but a lot of folks will see temperatures in the 30s tonight and tomorrow night.
A live look right now at I-40 and Wade Avenue, looking out toward Harrison Avenue. That westbound traffic on I-40 getting pretty busy out there, but still flowing freely from Wade to 540. Latest live sensor reading says it's going to take you only about 6 minutes to make that trip from West Raleigh out to the airport and RTP. A few minor crashes showing up on the map here around Raleigh, but they're not causing any problems as far as we can tell. And all of our major routes around the Triangle are clear right now. No trouble on any of our interstates or major highways. The Durham Freeway looking fine in both directions between I-40 and downtown.
How about we give you a live look right now? Raleigh and Fayetteville. One of these cities could be the site of a George Floyd Memorial Center. Floyd was born in Fayetteville. His family members say the settlement from the city of Minneapolis could be used to fund that center. Today, we expect an update from state leaders about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Governor Roy Cooper and his state task force will hold a briefing at 2 p.m. You can watch it live on the WRAL webpage and our WRAL News app as well. Next on Fox 50, the options the city of Raleigh is considering when it comes to bringing back large-scale events.
WRAL News on Fox 50. Coverage you can count on.
Thanks for making us part of your Wednesday morning here. It's a bright one out there as well. I'm Jeff Hogan. It's good to have you with us.
And I'm Renee Chu. Yes, we have lots of glorious sunshine out there. A live look at the American Tobacco Campus in Durham. And then also a really pretty view of Lake Gaston, Elizabeth.
Yeah, take a look at this. Looking gorgeous. This is from the Point Restaurant. You can tell it's a little bit breezy. You can see the trees moving around. And those winds are really going to pick up later on this afternoon. So it's probably not going to be a great afternoon for the lake, at least out on a boat with the winds that we'll see. But take a look. It looks pretty out there. We'll see increasing clouds close to lunchtime. And then around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. From Rocky Mount north and east, we'll see an isolated shower. And then east of our viewing area, a little line of rain develops. But most of us will stay dry today. The biggest impact out of this system will be the winds this afternoon and the cold air that rolls in behind this. We can see gusts up to 35 miles per hour this afternoon and evening. Our winds will shift to northwesterly at 15 to 20 steady onto the afternoon. Because of the wind and the dry conditions behind this front, we do have a red flag warning in effect. That means high fire danger. If fires start, they could spread spread pretty quickly in these conditions, so I ask you to not do any outdoor burning today. Temperatures are in the 50s right now, climbing into the 60s at lunchtime, 68, and then into the low 70s. But once the front comes through, the temperatures will start to drop pretty quickly. So during the evening, expecting low to mid 60s. And of course, some places will drop down close to freezing overnight tonight. We'll talk about how many chilly mornings are in our forecast coming up.
The world was watching as Minneapolis judge read three guilty verdicts for Derek Chauvin. Look at the front page headlines in newspapers all across the country this morning and what they show. Chauvin in handcuffs, people outside the courthouse overcome with emotion. Chauvin's being held in a maximum security prison about 25 miles outside of Minneapolis. He'll stay there for 8 weeks until the judge delivers a sentence. He could spend decades in jail. Activists say this is just the beginning of their fight focused on racial injustice and getting racial justice. In Minneapolis, many spent time in the square where George Floyd was killed. Across the country and here in the Triangle, it was a quiet night, thankfully.
Floyd was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and that's just one of two cities being considered for a permanent memorial in his honor. The other is in Raleigh. That's where we find WRS Casey Cunningham with the message from his family. It's an interview you will see only on WRL.
Talking with George Floyd's family, their focus now is using George Floyd's memory to create positive change. And part of that could be something called a George Floyd Memorial Center. It's an idea they're working on and talking about possible locations. One of them here in downtown Raleigh. When we talked to his cousin, he said in downtown Raleigh, the capital city, could draw a lot of people in right near Shaw University. Also Fayetteville, another location being tossed around. That's where George Floyd was born. Family members say the settlement from the city of Minneapolis could be used to fund the center. We spoke with Floyd's cousin, who is a pastor right here in North Carolina. We talked to him shortly after the verdict, and he tells us they were praying the jurors' decision would be made based on truth.
Of course, the life is gone. But the verdict today said to me that somebody, and despite what we're going through, someone understands that life is precious.
The family has created a memorial website. So if you go to that memorial website, you'll find more information about the George Floyd Memorial Center, its purpose, the mission. We'll post a link on WRL.com. Casey Cunningham, WRL News in Raleigh.
We've been following breaking news from the overnight hours in Apex. Officers are responding to a shooting right now. They're still there. WRL's Brett Neese has been on this scene since 4:30 this morning. Brett, I know you've been asking questions around there. You just got some brand new information to share with us.
That's right, Jeff. I just learned about a possible victim in this shooting. I was speaking with a lot of people here at this scene, and one of the people tells me that that a four-year-old was shot as a result of this shooting. So I'm working to confirm that with the sheriff's office here on the scene. But this is Smith Road, where this all happened. I want to give you the video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker, give you a better sense of this scene. It's near 1010 Road. And I'm working to find out if this shooting happened inside or outside this home. Now, there's a lot of crime scene tape that's sprawled throughout the yard in front of this home and even across the roadway. So there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered out here. So I'm asking those from the sheriff's office and other authorities. And as soon as I learn more, I'll be sure to report back. Live in Wake County, Brittany, WRL News.
Brett, thanks. Today, we expect an update from state leaders about the COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Governor Roy Cooper and his state task force will hold a briefing at 2 o'clock. You can watch it live on WRL and on our news app. Shortly before that briefing, President Joe Biden will discuss the national vaccine rollout. He will deliver an address at 1:15 this afternoon. You can watch it live on WRL.com and the WRL news app. As of this morning, more than 213 million doses of the vaccine have been given out in the U.S. 86 million people are now fully vaccinated, and that includes more than 27% of North Carolinians.
I'll give you a live look at Raleigh right now, where one organization is working to figure out how and if we can get back to hosting some bigger events in the city. WRL's Naya Harden is live with more on those efforts to try to get people more involved back outside and back inside some of these big events. Naya.
It's been so long since many of us had that wristband or those tickets to a major type of event. And while it's not set in stone, we could be seeing something coming in the works. Visit Raleigh is hoping we could start seeing bigger festivals and events taking place by late summer into fall. They say right now they are actively in talks with several large events that are looking to take place here. How those events would look depends on the governor's guidance. We'll be monitoring today's briefing at 2 p.m. for any updates. Meanwhile, organizers of events are getting creative to be able to hold events now. The city of Raleigh telling me the popular Bluegrass Festival is discussing this year being a mix of in-person and virtual. Other big events are opting, though, to cancel altogether, like Raleigh's Pride event and Fayetteville's Dogwood Festival.
Events that just happened last weekend at the convention center, like the, you know, like the roller rink that Shop Local Raleigh put on, is a great proof of concept to show how we can maybe hold a event like a Comic-Con, you know, back here in Raleigh again and do it safely.
We're going to stay on top of this and we'll let you know. Naya Harden, WRL News, Raleigh.
We also have a live look at Durham right now for the WRL Live Cam Network. The 2021 State of Downtown Durham Summit is underway. It's an annual overview of what's to come for the city. This year it's happening virtually. You can go to Durham's website to sign up.
At-home COVID-19 tests could be critical in helping businesses keep employees safe. The role a North Carolina-based company is playing in limiting the spread of the virus.
And the most streamed game on Twitch was made right here in the Tar Heel States. The millions of hours gamers spent playing Fortnite just last month.
The pandemic sparked a mass exit of women from the workforce. But if you're ready to return, there's an option for you. Go Ask Mom editor Sarah Lindenfeld Hall has the details about a returnships career fair. Sarah, I've heard of internships, but what are returnships?
They're a lot like internships, except they're for people, women and also men who have been out of the workforce for a couple years. So they're for women, especially who have maybe stayed at home with their kids or left the workforce to care for an aging relative or something like that.
So there's a career fair coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So it's sponsored by Back to Business Women's Conference, which focus is on getting women back in the workforce. And so this, they'll have two employers there, Credit Suisse and NetApp. Participants will have 10 minutes with each of those employers individually to sort of talk about, what their strengths are, what they bring to the table, what their career plans are. And I should say that, most returners in these returnships end up getting a full-time job with the company that they have their returnship with. So it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. You spoke with Katie Dunn, founder of Back to Business. What suggestions did she have for job seekers?
If you're going to participate in this, in the returnship fair, which is coming up at the end of this month, or in another fair like this, make sure you've got your elevator pitch ready. This is a kind of a 1-minute spiel about who you are, what skills you have, what you're looking for in a job, and what you bring to the table. And definitely, if you're going to this returnship fair, one thing that is a great benefit if you do have a career gap is that you don't have to talk about it, because everyone is coming to the table with a career gap. Everybody knows, right away that they'll, you have a couple of years probably out of the workforce.
All right. Thank you so much. For more information about returnships and for that women's conference, go to Go Ask Mom on WRL.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Renee.
Coming up on 8:42 right now, the guilty verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial is just one step in the fight for justice.
This is a day of history. This is a day of awakening. This is a day of reckoning. And I'm telling you, it will not stop here.
WRL spoke exclusively with some of George Floyd's family members. Their message just ahead. And this shuttle making history, the role North Carolina is playing in the development of self-driving transportation. And your winning lottery numbers on your screen.
On your Wednesday morning, a live look from South Hill, Virginia, where you can see that Main Street there basking in the sun, but very breezy as you see the flags blowing in the wind. We'll continue to see those windy conditions. It's going to be a windy Wednesday, Elizabeth.
It is, especially this afternoon when our